The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The boys are not only back in town, they're back on 710 KNUS. Pleased to be joined by our resident expert in all things politics, especially Republican stuff, Dick Wadham. Sir, thanks for joining us early in the morning.
You bet, George. Nice to be with you.
Now, I had asked Billy to set up a call with you to have you discuss this breaking news at the time. Yesterday, while we were on the air, Kevin Priola had come out as trans party and had self-selected as something other than the party he'd been, I think, his entire adulthood, and that was to go from Republican to Democrat. When you heard the news, how did this strike you?
Well, I was terribly disappointed. I know that Kevin's been kind of moving left on a lot of issues over the last several years. I was really kind of personally touched by it, George, because I was state chairman when he first got elected to the state legislature. We worked with him very closely when he won essentially a Democratic seat in Adams County to the Colorado House of Representatives. We devoted a lot of time and attention to his candidacy, and the Democrats did not expect to lose that seat. And so that year. And so to watch him kind of throw all that away is just very disappointing to me. And I also just been totally perplexed by the reasons he gave for his switch.
Talk to us about the ones that struck you as the most concerning, because I have my own thoughts on this, but I'm interested to know what you think.
Well, you know, he talked a lot about the stolen election conspiracy crowd and January 6th. And as I was reading those comments, first of all, as you well know, I've been pretty outspoken myself about my opposition to the, as you have, about the stolen election conspiracy stuff. But I was sitting there thinking, was Kevin gone on primary election day when Ron Hanks and Tina Peters and Greg Lopez and a whole slew of election conspiracists went down in legislative primaries? I mean, the Colorado Republican Party spoke loudly and clearly in the primary. We want Republican candidates who focus on the real issues and not on conspiracies. I mean, I don't know how more loudly the party could have spoken. And yet he cited that as essentially the reason why he decided to switch parties. And I think what party is he talking about?
It does sound fake to me, and the timing is interesting. Why do you think he chose now? Why not 2 months ago? Why not, you know, 2 months from now?
Well, I can only speculate. I certainly have not talked to Kevin, but I can only speculate he wants to run for something else someday. And he thinks that maybe this is a Democratic state. He's curried favor with the Democratic leadership and the legislature. And then he thinks he can run for, I don't know, maybe he thinks that the Republican candidate, Barb Kirkmeyer, is going to be a winner in the HCD, and he can run for Congress in 2024 as a Democrat. Maybe he thinks he could run for governor in 2026 when it's an open seat, presuming that Polis is elected to a second term. I've heard also that he wants to be an Adams County commissioner. I just can't help but think that he has something in the back of his mind. I haven't talked to him. Don't know what he's thinking.
I am intrigued by some of the future thoughts he has, too, because he is someone who has gone very public with his pro-life position. In fact, when I spoke with him years ago as the legislature was wringing its hands over how to remove the death penalty off the books from the worst of the worst murders that we have, I spoke with Kevin directly, and one of Kevin's, in fact, the only reason Kevin gave was, I am pro-life across the board, start to stop, and I will not support the death penalty. And I said, that's cool. Why not just refer it to the voters and let them decide? That turned out to be a question he didn't like, and he said, nope, I'm doing what I'm doing. But it was pro-life. It's hard to imagine a guy who's self-proclaimed that much pro-life position making it in the Democrat Party and making it out of a primary.
You know, George, that's what I thought. In fact, I don't think the media attention, they haven't focused on that. I think that's a terribly key question you just brought up. We both know that the Democratic Party is engaged in a cleansing of their party of anybody pro-life. They've taken on the remaining Democratic members of Congress and state legislators across the country who were pro-life, and they've engaged them in primaries, and they've largely won. I got to tell you, I honestly think the Democratic Party has shifted so far to such an extreme position on abortion. They would rather have Tina Peters in their party than a guy like Kevin. I mean, honestly, he is a passionate pro-lifer. If he thinks they're going to give him the time of day in a Democratic primary
no chance.
He is sorely mistaken. They will not accept him at all.
Do you remember even back in the day when Bill Ritter became governor and he was running for that was like the single biggest issue the Dems wrung their hands over was, oh my God, he's a Catholic and he's pro-life and we don't know what to, you know, and it took a long time to get them to the point of saying, okay, we'll let this happen. And it turned out to be a big deal because he won, and convincingly so. But in part, that was their biggest issue with him. And that's years ago. That's 100 years ago. The Democrat Party of today, no chance. I don't see what he's doing. I'm interested by the timing, too. Like, did he see something in the tea leaves that told him that the Dems were going to maintain control of the Senate? And I know it's been a goal of the Republican Party to take it back in this election cycle. That just got made harder by him changing parties. But I just wonder if he thought to himself, I will call my shot. I will make it very unlikely they'll take it back, and they will reward me with. And I wonder if that reward doesn't come in the form of some sort of committee chairmanship or something like that. Is that part of the dynamic of what goes on there?
Well, it might be. I think if he switched parties for a committee chairmanship, that's a pretty cheap ask.
That is a cheap ask. Right.
And by the way, it's not going to last. In fact, I don't think they will give him anything. Honestly, George, I think I didn't really notice in the media coverage there were a lot of open arms by Democratic leaders. Welcome, Kevin Priola, whatever you want. They might have promised something in the background, but when it comes to him actually running for something else as a Democrat in a Democratic primary, he is not going to get the time of day from them. In fact, he will get absolute opposition.
I could have seen him saying, listen, I'm leaving the Republican Party because of blank, because of these made up reasons that have existed since January the 6th and that we got past with the primary, all that. I could see that. I can't see going full Democrat. You know, I'm trying to reference something from Tropic Thunder, but it seems to me a much different proposition to go unaffiliated than it is to say I'm going from Broncos to Raiders.
I agree. That was a thought that occurred to me very quickly yesterday. Why didn't he just make that move and kind of declare his independence from both political parties and then see how everything played out? I mean, I still think that would have been a dumb move. I'm not endorsing that scenario, but it would have been a much more palatable move, I think, for him. But now he's made his own bet. He is now a Democrat. He is going to have to live with the extremism that dominates the Democratic Party. I mean, you mentioned Bill Ritter, George. I mean, the Democratic Party is not the party of Bill Ritter anymore or Roy Romer.
No.
These are leftists that run that place. And I hope he enjoys his new friends.
I also wonder if he hasn't misread the jurisdiction that he represents. And part of me, and I said this yesterday, I know we had Ben Nighthorse Campbell switch from D to R. I get that. But in my mind, it feels like, if you run for office and you have the support of the party, and you know Kevin got an outsized portion of support from groups like AFP, the Republican Party, the door knockers, the foot walkers, all that. He got a disproportionate amount of that because we thought, here's a chance to keep one from the Dems, right? We're going to do this. And to then say, now I'm no longer you. I don't believe in you. I think you are, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Why not step down from the seat and say, I'll come back as a D and I'll win as a D and then I can represent as a D? To say I'm running as an R, but I'm going to represent as a D, that just seems like bait and switch.
Well, I agree. Although if he had resigned, there really wouldn't. He's term limited in 2024. So there wouldn't have been an election until 2024 and he couldn't have run for it because he's been elected twice. But to your point, George, is this. remember when Phil Gramm, of Texas,
yeah,
switched parties from Democrat to Republican?
He did, yeah.
Remember what he did? He did resign. And he said, okay, I was elected as a Democrat. I'm becoming a Republican. But now I'm going to put this up to the voters in my district. I'm going to resign. We're going to have a special election, and we'll see if they endorse what I did. You know what he did? And he won overwhelmingly in that special election.
Because that takes character. That takes guts.
Exactly. And I totally agree with you.
I look at the landscape here in terms of the calendar coming up to November, and you're right, he's term limited and he only has a couple years left, which makes it seem like he's doing this for the future, for the next move. There has been discussion already on social media. Our friends over at Advance, Michael Fields, a bunch of others have started talking about, is there a possibility of a recall? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I assume there will be one. I think Republicans within the district will certainly, which is the most important question. Republicans in the district need to initiate that with help from outside. I assume there will be one, and there frankly should be one. I mean, there should essentially be a referendum on his switch, and that's what a recall is for. And I am very reluctant to ever support a recall election for anything except for the most extreme of circumstances. I think it could be abused. I mean, those ill-advised attempts to recall POLUS actually strengthen POLUS. But in this case, I think this is a justifiable move to have a recall, because he should have to defend his party switch to the people of his district, to the Republicans of his district, who, as you point out, worked their tails off to get him reelected to the state Senate. So I think a recall would be appropriate in this case.
I agree with you on the recall thing on just about everybody. Like, if they make a policy decision or a vote we don't like, that doesn't strike me as grounds for a recall. This is entirely different. This is like, I no longer subscribe to these values. I am no longer on the team that put me here. I'm switching teams. That feels very, very different to me. The other thing is, I wonder if Kevin, and he, no question, hard campaigner. This is not a dude who mails it in and lets everybody else get him across the finish line.
No.
He puts in the work. But there's also no doubt that Kevin Priola could not have won any election without the support of the Republican Party and AFP and all the other outside groups that pushed him across the goal line. I wonder if part of him isn't thinking, this is about me. I won this seat, so this is Kevin Priola's seat. I can be anything I want to be in this capacity now that I've been elected. It just feels very hubrisy.
Yeah, and you're right. He could not have gotten – he is a very hard worker. I mean, he knocked on practically every door in the district.
Agreed.
When he won that election back that I alluded to earlier. But he could not have won the election he won in 2020 without the help of the Republican Party and outside groups. There's just no way he could have, because the Democrats poured a lot of their own money into that race.
I think,
and he couldn't have held on to it.
I agree. I think the one silver lining to this is now all of these ridiculous bills that were all Democrats and Kevin Priola, and they could tout as bipartisan – now they can't do that anymore. Now it'll just be another partisan bill. Yeah, that's right. He was their protection from the partisanship gods. We're talking with Dick Wadhams. Can I ask you about another topic that I did not prepare you for? So there, and I reference it because the Denver Post, who used to print our words all the time.
I know.
Yeah, weird. They have an editorial up today praising this taxpayer-funded commercial for Jenna Griswold and Wayne Williams, a friend of ours, for this ad that they have run. It looks to me like almost entirely on conservative cable network and other channels. Billy has seen it in some home improvement channel, but it's the one on voter integrity or election integrity and all this other stuff. And the editorial, who I presume it was written by Megan, who I have a great deal of respect for, touts that is like, this is fantastic. And anyone who's opposed to this, anyone who doesn't see how important this is a quote, either doesn't like the underlying message. And she says that's Colorado's elections are safe and secure. And Trump is a raving lunatic for spreading the big lie, or doesn't know that Williams is 100% in the corner of Republican Secretary of State candidate Pam Anderson, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts on that ad?
I think it's a deplorable misuse of taxpayer money. And it just goes to the heart of what makes Jenna Griswold unqualified, incompetent, and and is not acceptable to be Secretary of State of Colorado. We've never had a Secretary of State like her. And she is so brazen in her misuse of taxpayer dollars like this, $1 million. And Pam Anderson wanted to use that $1 million to help county clerks with their election infrastructure. She would not have used it to promote herself. This tells you everything you need to know about Jenna Griswold. And she's, I mean, honestly, George, in the history of Colorado, we've never had anybody like her as Secretary of State. And she has to be removed because that office has to be restored to what used to be a nonpartisan, very competent management but under Democrats and Republicans. And she has totally shifted that. And I'm so disappointed in the Denver Post editorial. I would have expected better from them on this.
I am too. And it's short-sighted. And by the way, that $1 million, it's actually $4 million that she has spent on these Jenna Griswold, not for this ad, but overall $4 million. And when Pam Anderson was on the show last week talking about this, she said, listen, the clerks actually reached out to Jenna and said, hey, pretty please use some of these funds so that we can send out postcards and clean up the voter rolls, which is a big deal, right? Like cleaning up the voter rolls so we're not sending ballots to the dead or the people that don't live there anymore. And she refused them and instead used the money for this ridiculous ad, which I think the Post has missed the boat entirely by suggesting that, well, it's bipartisan and it's got Jenna and Wayne, who she defeated. So therefore, it's like you're missing the point. And the point is, ain't no tax dollars should be spent under any circumstances on an ad that features someone that's going to be on the ballot in 10 minutes. That is not fair to the process.
No, it's not. And at the very least, it should have had a disclaimer that this is a taxpayer funded commercial, although she would have done that, obviously. But no, it's reprehensible. It tells you everything you need to know about her. The good news, George, is being in this business, I have a lot of Democratic friends. They quietly, they would never say it publicly, but they quietly think they think that she's incompetent. They think they abuse her office. And I think there will be a very quiet movement among Democrats to vote for Pam Anderson in this election because they want to get her out of there. They're embarrassed by her and they know she's incompetent. And she's had all these prominent Democratic people run through her office who quickly resigned because they can't stand working for her. So that is an undertow that I think will be going on in this election.
When your first big splash in the media, Secretary of State, is to be called out for running your press releases by Planned Parenthood as Secretary of State, right? Like she's not even a legislator. As Secretary of State, you begin to wonder what is going on there. What is motivating this person? And it feels like pure politics. And we see that, by the way, with other statewide offices. You said we have never seen anyone like Jenna. I agree. We've never had an attorney general as hyper-partisan as Phil Weiser. I mean, and this is a guy who campaigned against Cynthia initially as she's too political. And I think what he meant was she's incompetent at the politics. Let me show you how it's done. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah.
Hold my drugs. Here's what we're doing. It's a crazy amount of partisanship that is coming out of these offices. And again, I think Lang Sias is going to make a great state treasurer. But the only one of that group of four constitutional state officers who it seems like is at least stayed off the radar for personal political gain is Dave Young. And he even put that in jeopardy by saying, I want to be the guy that signs the checks that come with your ballots, the refund checks.
Yes. Although... Poor Dave Young. People saw that signature and said, who the heck is Dave Young?
Right. They probably think it's the DA who turned down the prosecution on the Elijah McClain case. I mean, you know, they're like, what's that guy doing signing these checks? That's a tough one. Dick, thank you for joining us, man. This is great stuff. I'm going to have you back on here. I want to see how this plays out. I am going to predict that there's going to be a recall effort and a robust one at that. This won't be one of those flailing attempts to recall Polis, which never had a chance. This one has legs. What I don't know is the calendar, and I'll probably get Fields on to tell me how the calendar works on this, but I think it's going to happen. I think there are a lot of people super pissed off.
Yep, I agree.
Dick Wadhams, thank you so much, man. Hey, by the way, if the Denver Post aren't going to publish your words, who is? Where can we go read Dick Wadhams?
I'm doing some work for the Gazette, as you are.
Yes, absolutely right. The last place where you can say stuff.
I had a piece run yesterday about the hypocrisy of Michael Bennett attacking corporate interests when he became a a multimillionaire off of corporate interests before he got elected to the Senate.
And he takes
corporate money too.
We can find that on the Denver Gazette.
Yes, it was in yesterday's edition, and it's on their website.
So if you Google Gazette and Wadhams, we're going to come up with that. Fantastic. Dick Wadhams, everybody go out and read that column. I'm now going to do that too. Hey, sir, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Dick, I cut you off right at the end there. George Brockler, that was a great interview with Dick Wadhams. I am going to have on Michael Fields here, I think, in the 8 o'clock hour to talk a little bit more about this. I think this recall thing isn't just, you know, saber rattling. I think the sword's coming out of the saber, out of the sheath, out of the sharp thing is going to come out and it's going to cut. That's all I can think to say now at this point. But I think that recall is going to happen. You know, earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, I think we gave birth to a new segment here. I don't know how often, called Grievance Radio. That's what somebody texted in. But that was because of poor customer service. Let me go a different direction here and tell you about phenomenal customer service. And that's with our good friend Gay Ribble at Empower Home of Keller Williams Realty DTC. You've heard me talk about Gay for a long time. In this challenging market, Gay's the bomb, right? Like, if you are debating, should I sell? Should I stay? If I sell, can I get into the house I want? You want to go to someone who's been there and done that. All kinds of situations, all kinds of markets, and that's Gay Ribble. She does things that other folks just won't do. Like, oh, I don't know, make you promises and put her name on them and be bound by them. Like the guarantee in writing to sell your home at 100% of your agreed upon asking price. Or she'll pay you the difference in cash. Not like Best Buy that says, we'll give you a card at the end. We'll tell you what it's worth at the end of this whole ordeal. No, she will pay you the difference in cash and she'll sign her name to it. She's able to do this super confident, not just because of her expertise. She's got 15,000 plus buyers in her exclusive buyers in waiting program ready to go. She did this for Peter and Cheyenne, sold their home for over the asking price, and then put them in their dream home. You got to call Gay right now, Empower Home Team at Keller Williams, right? 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD, or check her out at gayhasthebuyers.com. Gay is spelled G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. Last word on Gay, superhuman being. Has great passion and great commitment to advancing the family, and she does it through adoption, something that's touched my life directly, hers as well. You want to do business with someone that can't just get you the best deal, but is also a great human being. That's Gay Ribble. Check her out today. Listen, when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls at 303-696-1971. What is to be done about Kevin Priola? Do we just let it go? Do you say, hey, I've always known he was a Dem and shrug it off? Or should he be recalled? And if so, why? I say yes. 303-696-1971. Tons of texts coming in. I'll read those as well. It's George Brockler on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Our number 303-696-1971. Kevin Priola went trans party yesterday and announced something that I think a lot of folks thought of as a fact anyway. It just has big ramifications for a Republican Party that was poised to take back control of the Senate. And even though it couldn't right the state of Colorado, it sure could keep it from teetering over to the left and all of us drowning. And that's the direction that we've been headed the last bunch of years. Don't believe me? Look at the oil and gas industry. Look at inflation here in the state. Look at, things like, what is it again? Oh, yeah, the crime tsunami that's washing over us here. This was an opportunity to fix all that. Kevin saw it coming and said, not so fast. I want these same wing nuts in charge. That's really, really super interesting. But we're going to reach out to Kevin. I asked Billy to do that. I don't know if he'll come on or not. I'd love to have the conversation with him. In all honesty, like, why now? And didn't the primary, and I think Dick Wadhams made a great point, the primary showed that Republican voters in the state of Colorado, whether you agree as a 710 listener or not, did not want to take on the nominations of those who were big election deniers. That was what it came down to, it seemed to me. But we went that direction, and then a couple months later, Kevin announces, by the way, I don't want to be you because of a whole bunch of crazy stuff that really doesn't apply to us at the moment. And the stuff about January the 6th, I mean, come on, man. That was 18 months ago. Your time to pop smoke was right about 18 months ago, or maybe a year ago. But to do it after all the hearings in which, and I read you these poll results yesterday from that NBC survey, there are less Americans than before, based on this poll, that believe that Donald Trump was solely or partially responsible for January 6th than before the hearings. That's laugh out loud funny stuff right there. They do these hearings. They put on all of this somewhat compelling-ish evidence. And then the end result is less people think it was Donald Trump's fault than before. That's crazy stuff. But then he chooses to pop smoke at that time. That is just so, so very interesting to me. Hey, listen, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Daniel Jurinski. But I want to get to something here. And that is, I told you, and we spoke with Dick about it, Denver Post has made certain decisions based on certain politics. And so Dick and I in the interim here are writing for the Gazette, and the Gazette has been foolish enough to put at risk its readership by allowing me to publish a weekly column. I read to you last week, the other one. I want to get this one in front of you too, because it has to do with a lot of the issues that we discuss. It's also going to have to do a little bit with our conversation with Danielle Jurinski, Aurora City Councilwoman, coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. And that's this. It's called, I don't write the title or the lead or whatever they call it. That's somebody else. So it says, when polls abuse the rule of law, here it is. The assault on the rule of law is accelerating in Colorado and America. A growing number of elected leaders use the words rule of law as the punchline to a political speech. Far fewer practice the principle. The oath taken by law enforcement executives is not a promise to uphold and defend the Constitution and laws, unless I disagree with them. The rule of law is a fundamental principle of our American legal system, predicated on the equal enforcement of our laws based upon the pursuit of justice, not to assuage political promises. Intrinsic to the rule of law is the commitment by the executive branch to enforce laws promulgated by the legislature and reviewable by the judiciary. The use of government's massive and monopolistic executive powers to pursue individuals and entities in court should always be the product of the pursuit of justice, not the satisfaction of political promises. Campaign trail promises to use executive authority to investigate, prosecute, or sue a specific person or entity upon election are an outrageous practice that has become increasingly the norm. It should be decried everywhere. Letitia James, the 2018 Democrat nominee for New York Attorney General, pledged to use every tool at her disposal to investigate and pursue President Donald Trump. Whatever potential investigation and prosecution might ensue, it is forever tainted with a political partisanship that reinforces skepticism about our system. Similarly, 2018 Democrat nominee for Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser, in an election I lost, promised to sue opioid manufacturers if elected, in the middle of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman's investigation. It is irrelevant if an ultimate lawsuit resulted in a paltry settlement. The political pledge to vote for me and I will sue X or prosecute Y is repulsive to our American form of government. Equally pernicious. Yes, I went pernicious. Okay, look it up. Equally pernicious are pledges not to enforce certain laws because some elected officials' substitution of their judgment for the legislatures or the public. Far from an ethical use of discretion, it is an abdication of duty. The answer to an inability to enforce a law with which someone disagrees is resignation from the position, not corrupting the rule of law. Beth McCann, 2016 Democrat nominee for district attorney, promised never to use the death penalty, regardless of how deliberate, evil, aggravated, or repeated a murderer's conduct was. That is an affront to the rule of law. The appropriate response to "I don't like this law" is to advocate for its repeal, which our legislature did in 2020, not to make campaign promises never to enforce it. The 2020 Democrat nominee for district attorney of the 18th Judicial District, who inexplicably has already announced her candidacy for 2024, promised never to prosecute any juvenile, including 17-year-old rapists and murderers, as adults for any acts, no matter how evil or repeated. Our legislature has already declared that there are instances in which a juvenile's adult conduct need not be handled by kiddie court. No person could object to a case-by-case analysis when to seek adult consequences for violent juvenile offenders, but a campaign promise not to do so across the board is a rejection of our system of government and the rule of law. Numerous self-described, quote-unquote, constitutional sheriffs, Republicans, have routinely and repeatedly pledged not to seek red flag protection orders designed to separate the dangerously mentally ill from firearms under any circumstances. Refusing to pursue such an order in a specific case for specific reasons is one thing. A blanket promise to reject in its entirety a law is an abdication of their oaths. They can find little protection in their self-justification that they believe such a law is unconstitutional. There's a process for that, and it involves challenging a law in court. Judges at multiple levels are empowered to determine the constitutionality of a law. Abandoning a commitment to that legal system, irrespective of any disagreement with the law, opens the door to chaos. Imagine what a sheriff or other elected executive can do if they are empowered to pick which laws they like and do not like based upon the simple declaration, "I think it's unconstitutional." In Florida, Tampa area District Attorney Mark Warren signed a pledge not to prosecute violation of the state's new abortion restrictions. He's not alone in the U.S. This month, Governor Ron DeSantis removed him from office for refusing to do his sworn duty. Imagine the outcry from the left if an attorney general nominee promised to use all of their tools to investigate Governor Polis' failure to disentangle himself from his jillions in investments while in office, or the screams of injustice if a prosecutor declared they would never pursue hate crime sentencing enhancers. There are only four things we can do with our laws: enforce them, amend them to something we like better, ask a court to strike them down or repeal them. We cannot, we must not ignore them or pledge never to enforce them. Democracy and the rule of law are again on the ballot this year. Reject the platitudes and vote for those who practice the principle. And that is today in the Denver Gazette. It is going to go to the Colorado Springs Gazette and also Colorado Politics. That is my diatribe of the week so far. We'll come up with more things to chat about in print and on the radio. We're going to cut away for a break. We're going to be rejoined by the superstars at Alpine Planning to make us smarter, and then we're going to transition over to the 8 o'clock hour. I'll continue to take your calls on this topic, by the way. What to do about Kevin Priola? Recall, don't recall. What do you make of all this? What is his motivation for doing this? Guy gave a reason. I don't believe it. What do you think the reason is? 303-696-1971. It's George Brockler right here on the Mighty George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler right here, back with you on 710 KNUS. It is that time of the show when our friends at Alpine Planning send someone forward and say, please entertain and educate. Today, they've gone heavy entertainment, less on the education piece, but nonetheless, we'd love to have him on board here. Gabe, you're on 710. How are you?
I'm well, sir. You're actually educating me. I know what pernicious means now.
Did you look it up? I had to say, Alexa, what does pernicious mean? You know? what's going on, man?
All is well. All is well. How are you doing this morning, sir?
You know, living the dream. We had our 6 o'clock hour, which we may end up renaming the back half of it Grievance Radio, because I had an opportunity to discuss something that you guys do really well that some other folks that rhyme with Fick Chalet and Rest Rye don't do, and that is customer service.
Well, you just need a little bit more sleep, sir. Well, this morning the market's starting off relatively flat. George, this is coming off probably the worst couple days we've had in the last 8 weeks or so. I think there's a little bit of, you know, sit and wait as it relates to Fed Chair Powell speaking later this week on Friday, and Jackson Hole getting a little rhetoric on what's going on with inflation. Currently, we have the Dow down 38, the NASDAQ's off 5, and the S&P is off 2. So relatively flat. But as we've sort of discussed the last couple of weeks here, George, I think it's important after we had a little run-up towards the end of June and all of July and the beginning of August to relook at your portfolio, right? I think it's important, especially people who are taking money out of their portfolios, to understand how much of their securities need to be sold to fund their retirement. And I think, you know, if you need help with that, if you have some questions, Brian, Amy, myself, we're talking to our clients about it. Have them give us a call. We'd love to sit down with them.
Buddy, what do you see coming down the road here? I know we're all speculating about what the Fed's going to do, and I wonder if the market isn't still a little skittish, like where we're going. Any sense of that? Is that later this week?
Yeah, Friday is when Fed Chair Powell speaks. But what's interesting, George, is, you know, this time last year, it was, you know, all about inventory. You know, you couldn't get things, cars, inventories were low. But you have companies like Macy's, Target, Kohl's. They all have too much inventory, and they're saying their profits are going to be lower because they have to do markdowns to get rid of some of that inventory. So it's kind of a murky market right now. I think, you know, if you're looking at your portfolio allocation, having some defensive stocks, some dividend payers are really going to pay off here as we go into the fourth quarter.
Buddy, any other advice other than obviously call you guys to get stuff, but when you're talking about trying to read the tea leaves, what are you looking for? What's the next big thing other than the Fed?
I think with the economy right now, right, they're sort of trying to achieve this soft landing, so to speak. So it's effectively, can we keep demand up without pushing us into recession? And you have seen demand slow from the consumer. I mean, you know, the United States economy is 70% consumer spending, right? So yeah. You have seen a little bit less spending, not only here in America, but globally. But I think, you know, you still have a strong labor market. Earnings are going up on the retail level. And so I think, you know, as we look at GDP growth and what the Fed is eventually going to do, if they can kind of teeter off this inflation story without pushing us into a deep, deep recession, I think we'll be okay. But we'll see what happens. You know, new home sales are coming out this week. So we'll see how strong the consumer is.
Gabe, as always, thanks for the heads up on this stuff. Again, go Yankees. I don't know if you watched the Subway Series at all yesterday between the Mets and the Yankees for folks that don't understand what Subway Series means. It turned out well. Judge cranked out his 47th, an amazing number, by the way, and they beat the Mets. Thoughts?
Very Mike Piazza-esque. He's having an MVP caliber season for sure.
And isn't it interesting, by the way, that it happens in a year where they could not come to terms on a contract extension before the season, and now he's like, I think I'm going to make it so I'll be the highest paid player on the planet Earth in any sport for anything ever by having this kind of a season.
Well, I don't think the New York Yankees are going to have any issue with that.
I just wonder if at some point you'd, and I realize people are like, is this baseball ready? It is for right now. Gabe and I are talking about the real deal, folks. It's baseball. And I realize we're in Colorado where the Rockies just aren't given the support they need to be contenders. But hey, I think that the Yankees are in a huge slump. They're trying to claw their way out, but it won't matter. I just wonder if at some point they're not like, we can trade Aaron Judge for half of the Astros or something, you know?
Oh, you don't want any cheaters on your team.
I love that you said that, Gabe. That's why you and I get along. We both see the Astros as cheaters, and they will always be cheaters. Wherever they go, whatever team they're on, they are cheaters. Thank you for that, man. That's a commitment to principle. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm who hates cheaters, and they're committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and nobody can trust the Houston Astros. Alpine Planning Group is prepared to earn your trust. Call them today at 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Gabe, thanks, my man.
You be well, sir.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
I do think it's undeniable, by the way, that the Houston Astros are just a bunch of cheaters, and they'll forever be so. And by the way, that the response by Major League Baseball was disgusting. As we talk about accountability here on the street and talking about how we keep arresting car thieves and then dumping them right back out on the streets to commit more crimes. Do you remember what happened to the Astros? Those punks all got investigated, and then Major League Baseball decided, in exchange for your statements, even though we have you dead to rights on the evidence, in exchange for your statements, you will suffer no consequences. Instead, your multimillionaire manager will be suspended from the sport for, what was it, a season, maybe two seasons? Are you kidding me? That's a deterrent? How about Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson gets suspended, and it's a former judge, for 6 games? And then NFL comes back and says, that's ridiculous. People will be offended by that. Let's say, what is it, 9, 10, 11 games? This dude ought not play football again. Are you kidding me? I get one disgruntled former girlfriend coming forward, maybe even two, because you know what? You tend to pick the same people over and over again. What was it, 23? It was like half of a town showed up to say, this guy in some way has had his way with me against my will. And the NFL's response is, that is serious. We take it so seriously. You cannot play for almost two-thirds of a season. You chew on that, young man, and then get back there to making those millions of dollars and being exalted as a role model for kids. Get out the door there. Come on, man. That is crazy stuff. There's a bunch of texts that have come in here. Here's one. And I find this discussion. Oh, hold on. Hi, George. I'm not sure what to do about Priola, but I know what needs to be done with Wayne Williams. He needs to be brought up to the executive committee and removed as chair of JD4. I don't understand why we should have a person with such poor judgment in a position of leadership. And I find this discussion interesting in light of the conversation you had about should the Wyoming GOP pull Liz Cheney's membership. That's a good point. This one doesn't feel quite the same, but I get the judgment issue. And Wayne's a friend. I like Wayne. I like Wayne's wife. I've known them for years. He's a super affable guy. He was a great Secretary of State. But I don't imagine he was dim enough to believe that this wasn't going to advantage Jenna over the person he supports for Secretary of State more than it advantages Wayne. Wayne being on a statewide campaign ad, for all intents and purposes, who cares, right? The only voters he cares about to get elected are right there in El Paso County. Those are the only ones that matter. The statewide thing doesn't benefit him, but it does benefit Jenna. And you know what would have been a classy, gutsy ad would have been if Jenna had done one all by herself with her campaign money. Like, I'm not here to push me. I'm not here to tell you to vote for me. I'm here to tell you to vote for Colorado's election system and trust putting your ballot in those boxes. That would have been guts. That would have been class. Instead, nope, we went to the taxpayer funds that would have been used to clean up the voter roll so that we can push her name idea. Here's one. I've been trying to obtain my... Oh, this was a grievance one, and a good one. Insidious, sinister, or pernicious, an example from the news media. I agree. I feel most lawsuits and legislation are hollowed and meaningless. What good are they when, on the other end of the partisans of the past, I think that's a response to my column. That was a good one. Unfortunately, us little people care about integrity and consistency within our institutions. Most on the left don't care about such things. They are philosophically ad hoc activists. Boy, that's a bunch of words you strung together that are super nice. There's Latin in there. Most of our political class, including Republicans, care more about their power and position than upholding a constitutional republic. We're only as good or as great as we want to be. That last line is ridiculously true. And that the statement that follows that is, we get the government we deserve. And we show we deserve it by picking it, by voting for it. I want to believe there are still people out there of principle. That story that Dick Wadhams told in the previous part of this segment here in this hour about Phil Graham, I'd forgotten that one. But that dude leaves the Democratic Party, becomes a Republican, and then steps down and runs for office as a Republican. Isn't that what Kevin Priola ought to do? And if not, why not? We've reached out to Kevin, and again, I'm sure he's going to say, hey, listening to the comments so far, I don't think I'm going to get a fair shake. That's not true. But I'm going to tell you in advance, just like I said in advance, the questions I would ask the Attorney General, the questions I would ask, here's a blast from the past. Danielle Party Fluid Neuschwanger, I put out the questions I'm going to ask. And here's what I'd ask you, Kevin. What are the legit reasons that you left the Republican Party? Why didn't you just unaffiliate? What is more attractive about being in the Democrat Party than being unaffiliated? Here's another one. Why now? Why not 18 months ago? Why not 2 months ago? Why not 2 months from now? What's the timing? And what's your bigger picture goal? Hey, we're going to be joined at the top of the hour by Danielle Jarinski, one of that gang of superstar city council people out in Aurora, making Aurora the crown jewel of the state. When we come back, it's George Brockman on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.